While Called by Name takes a seat, and if you have young people, you want to get them into kids camp, now's the time too, but they can stay here. We're glad just to have you here this morning. Okay, we're in a message series called Dumping Destructive Behavior, and we've been looking at different behaviors that the Bible identifies as destructive for us. And so you remember we talked about complacency, and we talked about negativity. We talked about regrets, and so today we move on to another one of those behaviors. And remember, we're talking about that biblical image of just changing our clothes, right? Taking some of these old behaviors that have just kind of, you know, clung on to us here in our old nature, and just kind of taking those clothes off, those behaviors, and throwing them aside and being able to put on the new nature that God wants us to have, the way He wants us to be. So today we turn our attention to a new behavior, and the old behavior that we want to get rid of. So today, dumping destructive behavior, and the behavior we're going to look at is stinginess. Stinginess. Dumping destructive behavior, stinginess. Have you heard of stinginess? It's kind of a neat word, isn't it? Stinginess. It's kind of a neat word, stinginess. Yeah, but the behavior we want to get rid of is that behavior of stinginess. They once did a telephone survey where they called people up, and they just kind of asked them a simple, straightforward question, and they said, do you see yourself as a stingy person? And 90% of the people responded immediately and said, oh, absolutely not, I'm generous. Okay? So, simple question. 90% right away, they responded and said, oh, absolutely not, I'm a generous person. They did a follow-up question then, and they said, well, can you tell us when was the last time you practiced generosity? The phone line went quiet, and it took, on average, 20 seconds before anybody could come up with an answer of the last time that they expressed generosity. Now, 20 seconds is a long time, right? I mean, if we would just stop now and watch our clock for 20 seconds, that's a long time. I mean, the reality is that none of us want to see ourselves as stingy people. And we'd all love to see ourselves as generous people. The trouble for us is that stinginess is one of those old behaviors that gets a hold of us. And the Bible has a lot to say to us about both this stinginess and about generosity. So let me take you into the Word here to begin with in Proverbs 23. And you'll get right away kind of the Bible's attitude towards stinginess. Here's what He says. Don't eat with people who are stingy. There's the word, right? Don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. So right away, just in that first verse, we get an attitude about how the Bible is going to view stinginess, right? I mean, it's telling God's people, don't hang out with those people. If you know people who are stingy, those, they're not your people. Don't go messing around. Don't be hanging out. Don't let stingy people become the people that you get identified with. The Bible right away understands that stinginess is one of those old self-focused behaviors. Here's the way it explains it. It says, they are always thinking about how much it costs. Where is their concern? Well, we could put in there, they're always thinking about how much will it cost me, right? Have you ever been in those restaurants where you're with a group of people and somebody says, hey, don't worry about it, I'm picking up the tab today, and man, just order anything you want off the menu. But then, you know, you kind of look it over and you order off the menu and you see the sigh of relief on that person's brow when they figure out that you've ordered something that's kind of on the least expensive side. Ever had that experience? Come on. Right? Why? Well, because it's all about me. You see, they're making the decision based on an attitude of stinginess, right? It's all about a self-focus. What is this going to cost me? That's the problem with stinginess. Stinginess has its root in this self-concept. And how do we spell sin? S, big I, little n, me in the middle of everything, you see? That's why the Bible says don't even hang out with those people. Because stingy people are self-focused people. The Bible would also tell us not only are they self-focused, but you can't always believe what they say. Look what it says next. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. You will throw up what little you've eaten, and your compliments will be wasted. What did we learn about those people who are stingy? Well, not only are they self-focused, but because they're self-focused, you can't always trust that they're sincere. You know, order whatever you want off the menu, but not really. They're not always sincere. Stinginess is one of those behaviors in the Bible that is very clear. It instructs us not to hang out with those people and to get that stingy behavior out of our life. Why is that? Well, part of it is stinginess. If you get trapped by that self-focused stinginess, it puts a limit on your ability to enjoy happiness. Stinginess puts a limit on your ability to just enjoy the possibilities of happiness and joy and enjoyment that can come into your life. If you look at Proverbs 28, it says, a stingy man, what kind of person? Stingy. A stingy, self-focused person is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him. See, the premise of stinginess is, I'm stingy because I'm focused on me and I want to keep for me. What they don't understand is that's totally contrary to the formula of the Bible, that when you hoard for yourself, you're cutting off the possibility for God to accomplish even more joy and happiness in your life. It just shuts it down. Stinginess shuts down the opportunity for God to bring more joy and happiness and blessing into your life. Instead, you want to practice not stinginess, but generosity. I'm feeling generous today. I mean, I'm kind of feeling really generous today. I'm supposed to put on generosity, so you know what? I'm going to be generous today. Where's my guys with the white shirts and the baskets and all that stuff? I'm feeling really generous today. So here's the deal. Everybody gets candy. Here you go. Have some candy. It's all for you. Don't get hit in the eye with it, though. Here we go. Have some candy. Hey, I'm kind of enjoying this. This is like fun. All right. Is this good? Anybody don't like chocolate? Here you go. Here you go. Come on. Get with it. All right. Do I hear some laughter in the room? Huh? Do I see some smiles on faces? Yeah. What's happening? Just for you. There you go. What's happening? When you get generosity moving, when you get generosity practicing, it creates the possibility for blessing and joy. It takes the limit off the joy that God can accomplish. You see? Everybody got candy yet? Oh, just throw it out there, guys. They'll get you. Right? Oh, look at that. Here's a Reese's that fell just for you. Now I got to see how you're going to eat that and do what you do at the same time. Yeah. Hey, if you want to eat them, eat them. That's okay. You can eat today. It's all right. Right? I'm generous. I'm feeling really generous. Right? You know what I also feel? That was fun. Right? I mean, that was fun. That was really a good thing. I really feel uplifted. I feel better. I feel more joyful. I feel happier. Why? Because I stopped looking on the stinginess of my own self-focus and instead, what? Just experienced generosity and got to enjoy the happiness, the laughter, the joy, what it was doing in your life. Right? What it was doing in your life. That's the difference the Bible wants us to understand. You see, the formula that the world has about being self-focused, hoarding all for yourself, is just wrong. Right? If I would have kept all that chocolate and kept it for myself, the only thing I would have accomplished is buying a new wardrobe. Right? That's all I would have done. And I may have been happy about my new wardrobe until I looked in the mirror. Right? But see, there's so much more when I can just be generous, when I can spread that out, right? And that's the theory. That's the formula that the Bible brings into our life. Look what it says in Proverbs 28 again. If you go down to verse 27, it says, the contrast with the stingy life, right, is he who gives to the poor will what? Lack nothing. All of a sudden, the lid has been taken off, right? Lack how much? Nothing. You lack nothing. You see how the lid has been removed? See, when you practice generosity, It takes the lid off the ability for you to experience joy and happiness, to experience the positive nature of generosity in your life. And in contrast, you can see it ends with a pretty stark word. But he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. What's the formula? See, the Bible understands that when we are stingy, when we are self-focused and we hoard for ourselves, we cut off the possibility for God to work in joy and happiness. When we become generous people, when we give, when we bring generosity in the lives of others, it takes off the lid and we can experience it. Now, we should know this is true. This is so obvious. We should know this above all people in the world, that this is true. Why? Because God has already been so generous with us. Right? God's already been so incredibly generous with us. If you go to 2 Corinthians 9, Paul tries to capture it and put it this way. Thank God for his gift that is too wonderful for words. How immense is his generosity? It can't even be captured. You just can't find words that capture the incredible gift of God's generosity to us in Jesus Christ. And so we, above all people in this world, are the people who understand what real generosity is. Because when God sent Christ into the world, when Jesus went to the cross outside Jerusalem, he wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't being stingy, was he? He was being generous, and he was thinking about others, and he was thinking about you. And he willingly, generously gave away his life. You see, God has been so generous to us. When we grab that, when we understand that, then generosity becomes simply part of our identity. We put off the old behavior of stinginess, and we put on the new behavior of being a generous people, because that's who we are. That's just who we are, because we know the generosity that God has given us in Christ. There's a great story about Alexander the Great, that he was riding along with one of his military companions, and as they were riding along the road, there was a beggar along the road, and Alexander saw him, and his heart went out to him, and so he reached into his pocket, and he threw the beggar several gold coins. The other fellow that was with Alexander was just struck by what he had just done. And afterwards, he talked to him about it, and he said, you know, Alexander, the beggar would have been happy with just a few copper coins. And if you would have just given the beggar a few copper coins, he would have had his needs more than met. Alexander thought about that, and then he responded with these words. Copper coins would suit the beggar's needs, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving. You see the difference? You see, generosity is who we are because of what Christ has done and been so generous in our lives. As he has been generous, the expectation, the invitation, the opportunity is for us to be just as generous. To put off that old nature of stinginess and put on that new nature of generosity. Romans 5, Paul says, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. You see, that's gold, isn't it? That's gold. I mean, that's golden. The forgiveness that Jesus Christ brings to you this day, this moment, this place. When he announces to you at the table today, I don't care who you were when you walked in the door today, you are a new person. You are forgiven. I don't care what's happened in your life before this. I don't care what burden you walked in the room carrying. But when you walk out today, Jesus says to you, here's the gold coins of forgiveness. receive my generosity and know that you are a new person and life is possible again. You see, those are gold coins, aren't they? And because Jesus brings that into our life, it becomes part of the character of who we are. We have to be a generous people because that's who God has been with us. Now, I want to be clear this morning that when I talk about generosity, I'm not talking just about being financially generous. Obviously, you need to be financially generous. That's part of the Bible. It's all over the place. Jesus talked about it more than almost anything else, right? Obviously. But I'm talking about a spirit today of generosity. Remember, we're taking off old clothes and putting on new clothes. We're clothing ourselves in these characters that are different. I'm talking about a spirit of generosity. So that when people interact with you, it's in your thoughts, it's in your actions, it's in your nature, it's just who you are as a person. You just have this spirit of generosity. Let me ask you this, wives, how awesome would it be if your husbands were generous with you and would set aside time to just sit and listen to what you have to say? Okay, ladies, that's where you go, whoo, yeah, right? I mean, that would be generous, you see, because guys got so much to do and so many other things to go and be. And we need to put on our generosity, not just in our financial giving, but generosity in the way we live life. Making sure that we're generous with our spouse. Making sure that we're generous with our children. Making sure we're generous in our relationships in the work environment. Making sure we're generous in our other family relationships. Making sure we're generous with our friends. Making sure we're generous with the checkout person at the grocery store. You know what I mean? That we're generous. That when we walk through that line and we get done paying our bill, that person feels the value of being a person because they've had a generous interaction with us where we have somehow spread the generosity of compliments, the generosity of character, the generosity of valuing them as a person. You see what I'm talking about? You see, it is a spirit of generosity. It's just not giving some coins. It's a spirit of generosity that everybody we interact with understands that because they've interacted with us, somehow their life is better. That we have generously poured ourselves into their lives, just as Jesus Christ generously poured himself into our lives. This generosity ought to be a generosity in our thoughts and in our actions. Philippians 2 says, "Don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves and think the same way that Christ Jesus thought." What did he just ask you to do? Put on generosity. Because Jesus was thinking of you on the cross. Put on generosity and put on the mind of Christ and think about others. Remember, stinginess at the focus was what? Being self-control, self-focused. What's it going to cost me? See, generosity is being other-focused and saying, look, what can I pour into that person's life? When I'm going through that checkout counter at the grocery store and I see that woman or that man who's there, what word can I share with them? What can I pour into them on that day that says, you know what, I really value them as a person and I really appreciate the service that they're doing? To lift other people up with our words, with our actions, with our thoughts, and the way we treat them. And this is so important because this is what God created us to be. This is before sin came into our life. Before Eve took the apple and became a taker, God created us to be generous, to be givers, and live that generous life. You can see it clearly in Proverbs 14. It says, "It's healthy to be content, but envy can eat you up. If you mistreat the poor, you do what?" Ouch, hey? You insult your Creator. That's heavy. Isn't that heavy? Saying, look, if you're going to live a stingy life, you're insulting the way God created you to be. Because God created you to be a generous person. God created you to be the person that's in this world that impacts others with that spirit that brings value to somebody else. That's who we're created to be. And when Jesus Christ died for us, that is who we are recreated to be. Now here's the exciting part. The exciting part is when you put generosity on, you open up the opportunity for not only the joy and you know the fun of generosity in your life, but you open up the opportunity for God to bring blessing into your life in the way He chooses to bring blessing to you. Now, I want to be real clear here. We're not talking about some kind of financial formula that says, you know, if I give away 5 gold coins, I'm going to get 25 gold coins from God. It doesn't work that way, right? No, but what works is God makes it clear that when we practice that generous life, God is going to bring blessing into us. Let me remind you of something. You remember that Bible story about the guys with the talents? You know, I mean, they went out and the king gave them talents to use, and then he went away to a far country, and then he came back and he said, "Now, how'd you use my talents?" And the one guy was what? Stingy, and he buried his talents. And the other guys, they took their talents and they were more generous and they multiplied their talents, right? Do you remember what happens at the end of the story? What happens to the stingy guy's resources, the talents he got? Oh, the king takes those talents away. The stingy guy, those talents get taken away. What happens to the people who are generous and multiplied? They're given more. You see the principle? They're given more. When we practice a generous behavior, a generous lifestyle, we open up the opportunity for God to do what God wants to do and bring more into our lives in whatever way we need it. Let me show you in Proverbs 11. It says, sometimes, notice the word sometimes, not all the time, this isn't a formula, sometimes you can become rich by being generous or poor by being greedy. Here's the key. Generosity will be rewarded. Give a cup of water and you receive a cup of water in return. Charge too much for the grain and you'll be cursed. Sell it at a fair price and you'll be praised. What's the principle? When you practice a generous lifestyle, it opens the opportunity for not only the joy of that for you, but the joy of it for God to bring more blessing into your life. There's an old story about a woman. She was, she had a pretty good amount of financial resources, and she was a good Christian woman, and she just had a real soft heart, you know, for folks who were down and out on their luck. So the story goes that she was walking along the street one day, and there was this fellow there who was kind of shabbily dressed, not a little smelly and repulsive, so her heart went out to him, and so she reaches into her wallet, she pulls out a $100 bill, and she just kind of shoved it into his pocket and says, you know, Godspeed. And she felt good, and never, you know, day went by, and next day her doorbell rings, and it's the guy at her doorbell, and she's kind of surprised and amazed by it. But the guy says, "Ma'am, I want to thank you so much. Here's your $100 back." She is absolutely amazed. He says, "Here's your $100 back. Godspeed came in first and paid 20-1. Old joke, right? But what's the point? When you sow generosity, here's the deal. You listening? When you sow generosity, you don't know how God is going to use it. Right? When you sow generosity, when you are generous in your nature, when you put on this behavior, it gives God the opportunity to begin to do new and different things because you're sowing generosity. You just sow it and you wait to see how God is going to use it and how that generosity is going to go flowing back into your life. But if you never sow it, God never has the opportunity. You can see it real clear. If you go to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Paul says, remember, a stingy planter gets what? Stingy crop, right? If you're self-focused, stingy, if that's your behavior, you're just not going to get much out of life. You're just not going to get much. Look at it in contrast. a lavish planter, a generous planter, a person who practices the generosity that God has practiced through Christ in their life, a person who's always looking for the opportunity to plant those seeds that build people up, a person who is always looking to pass on a good word and a compliment, a person who's always looking for the opportunity to plant that seed of generosity in somebody else's life, that person gets what? A lavish crop. A lavish crop. Why? Because God loves it. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. When you put on a generous nature, you create the opportunity for that generosity to be blessed and flow back into your life in whatever way God wants to do it. Last thing, the important thing for us to remember also is that generosity is our witness. Generosity is part of our witness. You see, the world out there operates on the stingy formula. It says, I got to keep for me, I got to hoard for me, I got to build for me. The Bible teaches us, you live a generous lifestyle. You plant seeds, you sow it, you give it away. And the more you give it away, the more is going to return. And that's also true about our witness. You see, we have to practice a generous lifestyle because that's what God practiced with us, but that's also what's going to change the world. That's what's going to make the impact in other people's lives. Because the people out there that don't know Christ yet, the only thing they know is stinginess of the world. And when we walk into their life and we come with this generous spirit surrounding us and we practice that generosity, we walk away and they say, wow, what was that? And they like it. You see, generosity is one of the greatest parts of our witness to the world. It's our opportunity to sow and plant those seeds in the lives of others. 2 Corinthians 9 again, Paul says, for God is the one who provides seeds for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. What happens when we're generous in other people's non-Christian lives? They have to stop and ask the question, what does that person have and how do I get it? What do they have? How can they be like that? And how can I be like that? You see, our generosity is one of the greatest opportunities God gives us to reach into the lives of others. It is our witness. It's the way we flow life into the world. Over in Israel, there's the Sea of Galilee, you know, up here. And the Sea of Galilee is just a flourishing lake with fish and, you know, fishing industry and just a whole life around the lake, right? And there's the River Jordan flows into it, right? And then the River Jordan flows out to it. But the River Jordan flows down, and ultimately it goes into another place called the Dead Sea. Why is it called the Dead Sea? Because it's dead, right? You know the Dead Sea has no outlet? You see, the reason it's dead is because the water has no place to flow. It just sits there, and it takes on the nature of the soil and the rock and the salt that's inherent in that area, and it has no place to flow. See, our life comes when we let Christ and His generosity flow into us and flow through us. Get it? And God opens up the opportunity for that joy and that happiness for us, and He opens up the opportunity for Him to put more blessing into our life as it flows back to us. Isn't that awesome? This is a behavior, the stinginess, that we need to dump. And we need to instead put on generosity. I'll give you Jesus' last word out of Luke 16. Look, here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. You see, our nature of generosity has eternal consequences. Anybody want more chocolate? There's more waiting for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for for the challenge we have to be generous people, to be the people who have experienced your generosity in Christ, the things we can't describe, words can't measure, how much your love is, how great your forgiveness is, the newness that life has in you. And yet we try, because we want that to pour through us into the lives of other people. Father, we just ask today, push aside that temptation for stinginess in each one of us. Just push it out of our lives. Let your Spirit take control of us in such a way that we don't worry about that anymore, and instead we can just focus on trusting that when we live that life of generosity, you'll bring to us the blessing that we need, that it will just pour back into our lives, that the harvest will be great for us because we're being who you created us to be. And give us the opportunity this week, as we walk through this week, to interact with those people that we need to, and to be that generous person. Generous with words, generous with thoughts, generous in our attitude towards them, generous in our giving and our gifts. Father, make us a generous people for the sake and the glory of your kingdom and your holy name. We pray it through Christ. Amen.